Lutheran Service Book is a hymnal with more than 600 hymns, Luther's Small Catechism, 150 psalms, daily prayers, and more. And you can take it with you wherever you go with the new Lutheran Service Book ebook edition. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, a devotional resource when you're on the go. Lutheran Service Book ebook edition, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, issuesetc.org.
What price range would you?
You know, I'm gonna throw a number out. I would say it's probably anywhere from $30 to $100, depending on the facility and what's involved.
The $30 to $100 price—that's per specimen that we're talking
per
about,
specimen.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
How much of a difference can that actually make if you know what kind of what's expected or what we need versus?
It makes a huge difference. I'd say a lot of people want liver.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, most providers will do this case under ultrasound guidance, so they'll know where they're putting their forceps. The head is basically the biggest part. Most of the other stuff can come out intact.
Right.
It's very rare that patient doesn't have enough dilation to evacuate all the other
to bring the body cavity out
exactly.
Intact and all that.
So then you're just kind of cognizant of where you put your grasspers.
Well, that's the voice of Deborah Nakatola, the top doctor for Planned Parenthood, in a now very infamous video that was taken surreptitiously. She's explaining there how the abortion procedure can be modified, even partial birth abortion techniques used, in order to procure organs from aborted babies for sale. That's right. They were talking dollars and cents at the beginning of that conversation, part of a nearly three-hour video that has been making the rounds. Well, it didn't start making the rounds in the media for a day or so, but then it did eventually make the rounds, and now Planned Parenthood has made a response as well. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will join us to talk about Planned Parenthood's response to the story of its top doctor selling body parts of aborted children. Apparently, this is a nationwide practice. Carol Tobias of National Right to Life will join us after that. We'll talk about some pro-life legislation that is much needed in the advent, I'm sorry, in the wake of this news. It was needed before. It's still needed now. And then Chris Roseborough will join us. We'll do This Week in Pop American Christianity. Mark Driscoll suddenly appeared, as if out of nowhere, at Hillsong Church when he had already been disinvited once. And we'll talk a little bit about Glenn Beck preaching at Ed Young Jr.'s church on the 4th of July. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at IssuesETC. Our beloved on-demand listeners, use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a regular guest. She's senior editor at The Federalist. She's been a guest on television network programs, AC360, Reliable Sources, Fox and Friends, and The Kelly File. Molly, welcome back.
It's great to be here with you.
How would you characterize Planned Parenthood's response to the story about the Nakatola video?
Well, it's been fascinating to watch their response. They've kind of been all over the place. First, they went silent, and then they got very defensive and claimed that everything they were doing was completely above board. Finally, by yesterday, Cecile Richards apologized, not for the actual action of harvesting organs from the children that they abort, but for the tone of voice of the woman, who she didn't even name, in the video, who's a senior medical director there at Planned Parenthood. And so very mixed response that we're seeing. And I think what you're seeing is they're flailing, because even though the media are not terribly interested in this story, other people are tremendously interested. And all of a sudden you're seeing state investigations pop up in states across the nation, plus there's a federal investigation, and now they're going to actually have to turn over records, and we'll learn a lot more about this organ harvesting program and how it varies across state lines and whatnot. So they're having to respond even though the media are not forcing them to.
I was looking last night at some of the news that was coming out. It was talking about a reprimand that had been issued against Deborah Nakatola. For some reason, they didn't specify what the reprimand was even for. But what I did notice, Molly, and you put me onto this in our last conversation, in the first news stories, she was kind of top doctor. They gave her official title. Then later, she was simply named as an official of Planned Parenthood. And in the story talking about her reprimand from the leadership of Planned Parenthood, she was called a staff member. That's an interesting demotion.
It is interesting, and also what's interesting is that the Associated Press reporter who wrote that is named David Crary. He is known as an ally of Planned Parenthood. He's the one who broke the story in such a way as to make it most harmful for the Komen Foundation when they tried to distance themselves from Planned Parenthood. So he's basically a Planned Parenthood insider, and that's how he had that. He sort of helped them with that story. That was their way of trying to decrease some pressure on them. But you notice we don't know what a reprimand is or what, like, what does that mean? What she said, did they say, be more careful about the meetings you take? We don't want you admitting what we do on the record. I mean, it doesn't, and also it doesn't even matter. But the fact that this Planned Parenthood ally and basically an insider, again, is known as one of the most biased reporters on the abortion topic. And he also happens to be the Associated Press's main abortion reporter.
What did you make of a column that appeared in the Washington Post from Petula Dvorak yesterday, I believe it was, yesterday morning? The headline of the column, Planned Parenthood Deserves to Be Supported, Not Attacked.
Yes, and what and that's exactly what her piece is. She actually defends Planned Parenthood. She makes some joke in there about how El Chapo gets less heat than Planned Parenthood does. Like, well, El Chapo, the drug lord, didn't kill 337,000 people last year and harvest their organs, so it kind of makes sense that people would be more upset. But it's just, it's very representative of the tone deafness of most journalists covering this topic. They really are. I actually kind of appreciate that she's being very straightforward about what all journalists seem to feel on this, which is they think their job is to defend Planned Parenthood from all attack, no matter what they're doing, including, you know, taking aborting children in such a way that they can preserve their liver or their brain or whatnot, so that they can sell those parts. And she's just being very open and honest about it. I'm far more concerned about the fact that Washington Post has yet to do a single story really digging into this. They did that initial story, which they then watered down, and they're noting that people are doing investigations. But I want journalists to really dig into this, you know, really look at the laws on trafficking in human body parts and having people look into Planned Parenthood's records, making them actually substantiate all of the claims they're making about how everything they did was above board. And that, to me, is even more scandalous than a columnist defending publicly what all her fellow journalists are doing.
I think you described it in a previous conversation as a dragged kicking and screaming across the news deadline type of a scenario, and it did take what it took at least more than 12 hours for anyone to get anything up on the story after it had been in the bloodstream of at least social media for a long time. That's a weird position.
It was 8.5 hours, first off, but 8.5 hours for the first story, even though the news broke early in the morning, so you would have normally seen stuff get up right away. And I did a little comparison. The New York Times, when Mitt Romney was busted in a highly edited little snippet taken, you know, where they didn't know what the context was about the 47%, which is a very similar surreptitious video situation, they got that up on their news site within 2.5 hours. In this case, it took them until the next day.
Now, that kind of puts the media in a weird position, because the more they want to defend Planned Parenthood, the more they have to talk about the story, and they don't seem to want to do the latter very much.
Well, actually, yeah, I think that they're in such a situation now. This has been such a debacle for Planned Parenthood. Everybody now has in their minds Planned Parenthood, baby chop shop. So Planned Parenthood actually probably does want more coverage of this now, of the kind that you just mentioned with Petula Dvorak, where it's defending what they do and defending their operation. So we might actually see, you know, but they're pretty boring stories, since you have to use euphemisms and not actually discuss what's going on in a Planned Parenthood clinic. But you might see a little more coverage of that type of, let's put this in context and let's you know, focus on how to spin this in such a way as to make it seem less bad.
The one that I saw, oh, it has to be maybe 2 hours ago, came across my Twitter feed, was a claim coming out of Planned Parenthood. I don't know who was reporting it, that what the money exchanged here actually was going to the women who came in for the abortions. Do you know anything about this?
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting is Planned Parenthood PR firm put out talking points, and they said, yeah, they're talking about money, but what they're really talking about is reimbursement to women who have abortions for the body of the children they abort. Now, I don't believe that's true. I don't actually, I mean, first off, it's obviously not true that that's what they were doing. As you put in the clip that began this, they're clearly talking about how much money they will get per specimen that they provide to the buyer. But even apart from that, even apart from the fact that that's not true, that they were talking about reimbursing women, I don't believe they actually reimburse women. I called them and asked them to give me like the complete lowdown on their reimbursement program, and they said they would get back to me, and they have not. And that's been, let's see, a full day and 5 hours since they said they would get back to me.
So is that exactly the kind of thing that we need to see, is a paper trail, a money trail, at the very beginning, at least to begin with, in terms of good journalism?
Of course. I mean, that's just standard journalism. You never take someone's word. There's the old adage about if your mother says she loves you, get another source or check it out. We are taught as journalists that you have to check everything, particularly when people are making claims that are so self-interested. And that was one of the problems I had with the media coverage. You know, again, take that New York Times. Their first 10 paragraphs were just a complete acceptance of everything Planned Parenthood said to spin the story in such a way. Some journalists, like those at Newsweek, are just reprinting the talking points they were given from Planned Parenthood. Nope, it doesn't matter how much you love abortion or how much you love Planned Parenthood. Your job as a journalist is to verify every claim made. And that goes for all sides on this issue. It's not, you know, they should be looking for verification from anyone who's weighing into this story. And that's just not happening.
So finally, with only about 30 seconds here, where does this story go from here? Where should it go? Where do you think it will go, Molly?
Well, what should happen is all journalists should be focusing on this, looking at the literally thousands of angles that they could explore. What's actually happening is that you're seeing journalism being done by amateurs or conservative sites. Every single new angle that has been broken, whether it's looking into, you know, whether taxpayer funds are going to this harvesting program or whatnot, has been broken by pro-life, conservative, or just individual people who are digging into this on their own. I think you'll see much more of that.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is senior editor at The Federalist. She's been a guest on network television programs AC360, Reliable Sources, Fox and Friends, and The Kelly File. You'll find a link to her work and all the good work at The Federalist. I really recommend that you absolutely subscribe to their free feed and get their email update every single day. At our website, issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand. Molly, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Joining us to talk about some pro-life legislation in the aftermath of a video showing the Planned Parenthood's top doctor selling body parts of aborted children. This is something that's been in the works for a while. This is not a reactionary thing. This is the kind of legislation we needed to begin with to prevent this kind of stuff. Carol Tobias is our guest, president of National Right to Life, based in Washington, D.C., and a regular guest here on Issues, Etc. Carol, welcome back.
Thanks. It's great to be on.
First of all, this is the kind of legislation that hasn't been occasioned by the video that we saw earlier this week, is it?
No, this is not. I mean, the bill that we are promoting is something that would stop a lot of what is being discussed on that Planned Parenthood video. The Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act would say that when the baby can feel pain 20 weeks after fertilization, the abortion is not going to be allowed. It's passed the U.S. House. We're waiting for a vote in the U.S. Senate. On that Planned Parenthood video, their medical director was talking about how they want the well-developed brain and the heart and the liver. Well, the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act would save a lot of babies who are being discussed in that video.
You have said that this video is just further evidence, as though we needed much, that the abortion industry, in your words, cares more about preserving their financial bottom line than they do about the women they purport to help. Flesh that out for us, if you would.
Well, the callous attitude of the medical director as she's talking about how they crunch the body, you know, above and below the organ, to, you know, the liver, the heart, to make sure that they can keep it, shows that they really have no regard for the baby. And I think what she was talking about calls into question, are they performing abortion procedures in a manner that would be more dangerous for the woman? You know, she talks about turning the baby and delivering the baby breech, or, you know, at getting the baby in a position that is better for saving the organs. That really calls into question, are they doing what is the safest procedure for the woman? So, no, I don't think they care about the women here. Their main goal is just to make sure that baby dies, and if they can use the tissue, the organs, the lungs, the liver, You know, that's their goal.
One of the things that was just stunningly clear in the Nakatola video was, and you just mentioned it a second ago without using the term, was their willingness to use the term partial birth abortion, or willingness to use the technique with, if not the term. What are your thoughts there?
Well, we don't know for sure that they were doing what is described as the partial birth abortion. You know, that has a specific legal definition as to how the abortion is performed. And I would recommend that we, you know, no one really say that they were doing the partial birth abortions, because Planned Parenthood has a lot of money and they have lawyers. And if you accuse them of breaking a federal law, you know, they can come back and sue. What I am thrilled at or about is that Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa, who is chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, has written to Cecile Richards, president of Planned Parenthood, and Loretta Lynch, attorney general of the United States, asking them specific questions. Are you selling body parts? Are you performing partial birth abortions? I think the Senate Judiciary Committee is going to try to get to the bottom of this, and the investigation is going to be a great heartburn for Planned Parenthood, which, you know, makes my day. But I think they will be able to dig and get some information so that we know for sure what this medical director was talking about.
One more question for you real quick. I don't know if you mentioned it earlier, but I did want you to describe the Unborn Child Protection from Dismemberment Abortion Act. What is that?
The most common abortion procedure used in unborn children in the second and early third trimester of the pregnancy is the dismemberment abortion, where the abortionist goes in with forceps and pulls the body parts off of the baby, the arms, the legs, the head, as the baby is still alive. So the ban on dismemberment abortion would say you cannot kill a baby by tearing off arms and legs inside the uterus. So the baby basically bleeds to death. If this legislation would be passed, and it's been passed in two states now, so we're going to try getting it going in a few more and several more, it would, you know, prevent a lot of what this Planned Parenthood video is addressing as well, babies that are more developed and are being killed for their tissue or their organs.
Carol Tobias is president of National Right to Life, based in Washington, D.C. You can find out more about National Right to Life under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Carol, thank you very much. Please keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Chris Roseborough. Our regular Friday feature with him is called This Week in Pop American Christianity, and he is loaded today. Well, you might have remembered Hillsong Church had invited the defrocked Mark Driscoll, who had been... what happened? It's hard to remember. Did he step down? He was asked to step down from Mars Hill, this big mega church out there on the East Coast, West Coast. He's out there. Mark Driscoll's kind of lurking in the shadows. He was invited to go to Hillsong Church, and then he was disinvited from Hillsong Church, and then, lo and behold, he appeared there. I don't know if it's uninvited or simply unannounced. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about radio host Glenn Beck preaching. Remember, Glenn Beck is a Mormon, preaching at Ed Young Jr.'s church in Dallas. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity with Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith, right after this.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
An umbilical cord of biblical truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.